Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to Matrix Radio Live. I'm your host this evening. This is Martin Siegel. We've got an awesome show set up for you tonight. First of all, Matrix Radio Live is a ministry out of Mooresville, North Carolina. Our website is www.matrixministries.com. Please help support our ministry if you go to our website. We've got a couple of different things on the website that you can do to help support us. Of course, we can always use your support direct, which would be a big help. But we currently are running through the lines of a video phone right now that we have available to you on the site through a voice over IP system that is just awesome. If you guys would like to support us, please look into that. It's on our website. Also, we've got some of the finest organic products available on the planet on our site as well. So please check that out when you get a minute or two. You won't be disappointed with those. We are able to take live calls this evening. If you'd like to call in and chat with us or some of our guests this evening, we'd be happy to have you do that. The call-in numbers are for USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. That's for the USA and Canada. And also worldwide, we are taking calls at 877-489-6350. So please feel free to call in and talk with us. I've got a couple of outstanding guests for you all this evening. First of all, I'd like to introduce to you Dustin Brady. He is a friend of mine and somebody that when we first met, we just kind of had a kindred spirit. You know, it was just very interesting that we hit it off so well. And when we first started talking about some of the things that are going on in the world today, there was just a real kindred spirit there. We just knew that each other had the same mindset about things. So I brought him on board this evening to kind of talk a little bit about what he sees going on in the world today. And also, we also have another guest with us this evening as well. This is Captain Brad Miller. Captain Miller here is from Mooresville, North Carolina. He graduated from Mooresville High School and attended the United States Military Academy at West Point. Upon graduating from West Point, he was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Army. Brad then served for more than 3 years in the 10th Mountain Division located at Fort Durham, New York. And that sounds very interesting, and I'd like to get into that with Brad here shortly a little bit. And during that time, he served as a platoon leader for a platoon of combat engineers, and he also served a year in Afghanistan with the 10th Mountain Division, during which time he was the assistant operations officer for his battalion. He also worked as the civil affairs officer for the battalion. Currently, he's stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia, at the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, where he is the chief of the Special Operations Division there. And we're going to be talking with Brad this evening. It should be very interesting. I've been sitting here with him in the studio here in Mooresville for an hour or so, and also with Justin, and we have just been talking about many different things that we're going to be talking about this evening. So we're going to get started here. First of all, let me say that one of the things that Justin and I first were speaking about earlier this week was that there seems to be this false safety identity that people seem to have today. I mean, when you talk to a lot of people about some of the things that are going on with our country, some of the things that our government is doing to, basically repress the people today, most people don't want to hear that. They'll shut it down. They'll turn it off. And it's almost like a disease that's happening out there today with people just have this false sense of reality going on in their mind. It seems like whenever people are confronted with issues or circumstances they don't want to hear about, they just seem to think that if they project enough positive energy or if there's a certain aura that they can project upon the issue or the problem in their own mind, that they can actually change reality and keep the truth from being revealed. But I've found most people that seem to think that way, they seem to address all these issues out of a, I guess, an agenda of fear would be the best way to put it. They are fearful of what's going to happen, so I guess by twisting their mind into thinking that these things won't happen or that they're not happening, that they can actually change reality in their own mind. So these are just a couple of things we're going to talk about tonight. Justin, what do you have to say to speak to that, to address that issue?
Well, I completely agree with you. I think the problem that we have in America is people shut down any idea that the government could be bad.
Right.
In a perfect world, it's wonderful to think that your government's 100% on your side and your white picket fences and your TV shows at night, you know, you live in this little world of security.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, our government is a great threat to us in today's times. And I think it's very important that the American people at least try to acknowledge the idea that there may be some type of legitimacy to what we're saying. And I run into it all the time. I try to tell people, I try to express the different things that we're encountering today with our government, from 9/11 to even this bailout, the $700 billion bailout.
Right.
I mean, I try to open people's eyes to what's going on in the economy, what's going on in our government, what's mm-hmm. going on in our world, globally, you know, not only on a national scale, but a global scale. And I get a lot of doors slammed in my face, and I completely agree with you. I think that the people's rejection of the truth really is based on a fear standpoint.
Right.
I feel that is really a catalyst to their shutting down of what I tell them. I mean, and it's sad. It's sad because we need to get the word out to people. People need to realize what shape our government's in, what shape this country's in, where we're going.
Right.
We're not headed down a very pretty road.
Yeah, I agree with you. Brad, I'd like to get your viewpoint on that same issue as well. Just you being in the military and all, I'm sure you have a different viewpoint as well as what you see, not only from the soldiers that you deal with on a daily basis, but you know, also from you being a citizen as well. You know, just what you see from everyday people that you seem to talk to.
Well, anytime these issues are brought up with individuals, you're going to get a myriad of responses that people are going to give to you. Some people agree with you. Unfortunately, it's a stark minority. Other people are going to be vehemently opposed to anything that you say. And other people really, unfortunately, the vast majority of people, really don't have an opinion one way or the other. And that's also unfortunate that that there's a large majority of people out there who are apathetic and or uninformed. When it comes to the fear that people have and their unwillingness to take these things seriously, I think it kind of goes back to a small child in his room at night that's afraid of the dark. If you pull the covers over your head, then maybe the monsters will go away.
Right.
I think that,
kind of the Monsters, Inc. scenario, huh?
Absolutely. And if people can shut their mind to it, the way they look at it is, well, it doesn't really matter if this is true or not true. If I just don't worry about it, then it ceases to be true for me.
Right, yeah.
And that's unfortunate because America is built on action. That's an important principle of what our founding fathers believed in, and it's an important principle of what has made this country as strong as it is action. It's virtuous action directionalized and oriented towards what is right and what is
yeah.
just.
Yeah, I agree. I talk to people all the time. I was in the financial industry for a long time. And, you know, I would always talk to people about their investments and their stocks. And, I sold life insurance and things like this. And, you know, I would tell people, you know, hey, you know, the stock market's not doing too well today. You know, it's plunging. Or when we had, like, a big drop the other day of 800 points after they, you know, turned the bill down for the first time. You know, people will always say things like, well, hey, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I don't own any stocks anyway. You know, how's it going to affect me? Well, it does affect you because, you know, every company you work for, every company that's out there on the, you know, public open market is tied into the stock market. This is how they raise capital and raise funds, and these are the types of things that they need to keep your jobs going and things. So it should be of concern to you. But, you know, I find all the time that people just are so closed in that they don't think anything will affect them. And it's really sad that most people in America today feel that way. And unless the beast is beating down your door, it seems like they're not going to react, you know. And I'm sad about that. But one thing I will say is that I do have some hope for our country today because of people like both of you, Justin and Brad. You know, these are some young men that are stepping forward and basically just throwing it all out there, throwing it on the line, to, you know, just to let everybody know that, hey, there is hope for America, that our young people are waking up to what's going on, and whether these be people involved in the government, the military, people working at the shoe mart, doesn't matter. There, you know, people are waking up, so I do have some hope for this country, and I'm just really happy to see guys like you that are willing to, you know, put it out there and just talk about these things and try to wake other people up as well. So,
well, yeah, I mean, as Brad said, this is a country of action. Our most fundamental foundation really comes from revolution, from action.
Right.
I mean, that's what this country's always been about, is action.
Absolutely.
And yes, I am willing to take action. I mean, if we don't stand up now, it will be too late.
Yeah, I agree.
It's important that we stand up as Americans, and it's going to have to happen. And I think the common theme really is to be idle. Most Americans are idle. They don't care either way.
Yeah.
They're so busy in their lives, they don't want to take a second of their day to step outside the box.
Right.
And realize that just to try to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
They don't want to step outside their box. They want to step out of their security to take a look at reality.
Right.
Their reality.
I agree.
They create the reality. People create the reality. And
yeah.
They don't want to step outside of that.
That's true. You know, like Paul in the Bible said that as a man thinketh, so is he. I think he meant that in a good light, you know, for most people, but it also covers the other side of the coin as well, that, you know, people, if they think that the boogeyman's going to go away, it's just going to happen. And, you know, that's just a disconnection of reality, I believe. I've been able to address these issues because I'm outside of the fear factor. I mean, I'm not afraid anymore. You know, when I first started looking into what was going on and studying history about 10, 11 years ago, and really starting to focus on it, you know, a lot of these issues I didn't want to believe. I didn't want to, you know, I couldn't believe that my government would do anything to harm me because, first of all, I served in the military just like Brad is doing now. I was very patriotic. You know, I worked on board an aircraft carrier, and I just really believed in this country. And, you know, I was fed the same lines that everybody else was fed through school and everything, you know. And then you start to see things, like on TV the other night, I was watching this movie, Born on the 4th of July, you know. And you look at things like that, and you know, these are little things that God sends to us to kind of wake us up a little bit so that we can really kind of see what's happening out there. And then when you get immersed in it, you know, like when I joined the military, it opened my eyes to a lot of things. You know, that just really helped me to travel down the rabbit hole that I'm headed down now. So now, Brad, I'd like you to go ahead. Okay, we have a caller on line two right now. Who's calling?
This is Pam Coakley.
Oh, Pam Coakley. Okay. Hi, Pam. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Did you have a question for myself or one of the guests here this evening?
Yes. I have a question for Justin Brady.
Okay, for Justin Brady. Okay, hold on one second here. Let me patch you through with him.
Hello.
Hello, Justin.
Hey.
I'm wondering what persuaded you to have views that you do now regarding 9/11 and the questions you have about our government. I mean, what makes you be different than a sheep like everyone else?
Well, I mean, I'd say First of all, one of the, to be completely honest with you, 9/11 actually did get me into the movement of, you know, understanding what our government is. I truly believe that 9/11 was a false flag operation. Well, after you come to that realization, you're going to start questioning basically every aspect of government. And that's what I've done. And I tell you, it's like putting a puzzle together. Every piece you fill in on that puzzle, you become more and more convinced of the truth of what's really happening. And, I would say it's pretty much 9/11 was the true catalyst for getting me into this. But I'm going to tell you, the more you get into it and the more pieces you put in that puzzle, the more convinced you are of the truth of what's happening in our government behind the scenes. And I tell you, I'll keep looking, I'll keep researching, and I'll keep fighting. Because if you're not willing to stand for something, then what are you?
I guess you're a sheep.
What are you?
My question is, what if I wanted to find out information about 9/11, just where should I start? What should I look at?
Well, there's several different sites out there. You can go to, Loose Change, that's a good one. Loose Change 2. Loose Change 1, they made some corrections on that, but Loose Change 2 is a great documentary. There's several books that have been published about 9/11. There's a great one. It's, Debunking, 9/11 Debunking. That's a good one. There's also a movie, 9/11 Mysteries. There's just been several things. Really, you can go to any search engine on your internet and type in 9/11 conspiracy, and it'll probably bring you up several hundreds of thousands of links to access information, general information on 9/11 myths. I mean 9/11 conspiracies. That would be a great. My advice would be just check out MSN search engine and let it take you.
All right. Well, in closing, I just want to say thank you to Martin for hosting this type of show for people that are willing to listen to something other than what they may want to believe, and also for his guest, Brad, who is serving in our military now. I appreciate him coming on the show. It's always interesting to hear the viewpoint of someone who's actually seen service up front, and especially at this time, and seeing how our government works when they're out protecting us and other countries as well. So thanks so much, and I hope you have a good evening.
All right, thank you. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, goodbye.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for calling out there, Pam. It's really good to hear from some of our listeners this evening. Let me just, when I heard Justin speaking there, he mentioned the word conspiracy, and let me just give you a little insight into just how programmed all of us are on this aspect. Now, we know we've heard all these things about schools like MIT that are diligently experimenting with mind control through things like television. I believe a lot of that's true, but let me just tell you, just so you can see here how well controlled we are. When Justin just said that word, conspiracy, on the radio this evening, what was the first other word that popped into your head immediately that comes after the word conspiracy? What's the first word you think of? The first word that I think of anytime somebody says conspiracy is theory. I mean, the two words are synonymous. They go hand in hand together, and I think we've been conditioned and trained to accept that. And, if you look at the word conspiracy alone by itself, it means that there are people that are conspiring to do something, to get something done. That it takes more than one person, and then these people are setting up a conspiracy to do something, whether that be bad or good. Now, when you say the word conspiracy theory, now all of a sudden that word changes. When you add theory into the mix, the word conspiracy is no longer legitimate, okay? It just means that, hey, this is somebody's idea that this might be happening, but it probably isn't true. And I think we've all been conditioned into a false reality of believing that fact, and it's just so obvious that when he said conspiracy just a minute ago, I said to myself, conspiracy theory, and I think that's true for most of us. So, what you have to understand that it's not a theory if there is proof and evidence, that proves that what you're looking at is factual. And I think that's the viewpoint that all of us are coming from here this evening. Now, I'd like to switch things up here for a minute real quick. I was going through, Brad, why don't you go ahead and just tell the people, you know, what you were talking about with me earlier about, you know, the fact that you are coming from a citizen's point of view here. And I just want you to give your disclaimer, you know, because we don't want any issues or problems going on this evening, or misunderstandings, I guess I should say. So,
thank you, Martin, and I do appreciate you having me on the show tonight. But yes, I am coming here tonight as a citizen who does happen to serve in the military as a captain. But again, the issues that I'm expressing tonight are the opinions held by Brad Miller, not opinions, of course, of the United States Army or the United States government. But I did want to say one thing rapidly, just in light of what we've spoken about so far, and that is that as a military officer, you know, who exactly do I work for? Well, of course, I do work for the government. I'm employed by the federal government. I do work for the Army. I do work for my superiors. But at the same time, when we refer to military service, what is the service that is being offered and who exactly are we serving? As a military officer, I believe that my real client is the American citizen. I'm here to serve the American people and safeguard the liberties that we hold so dear, the freedoms that we have. Who does a military officer take his oath to? What exactly is he supporting and defending? What's the Constitution? It's not any one administration. It's not any one president. It's not a temporary Senate of the White House, as MacArthur put it. It's the Constitution, which, of course, is superior to any president that we have. Now, obviously, I am a professional. I will carry out the orders that I am given because I do believe in professionalism. I do believe in honoring the contract that I have. So, of course, I do believe in upholding the leaders that are set forth over me, which, of course, are my superiors that also wear the military uniform and the civilians that are in charge of the military, to include the president of the United States.
Okay. Brad, let me ask you this. If you were at any time given a direct order that you knew was in conflict with the United States Constitution and that you knew to be an unlawful order, but were still given that order, how would you respond to a situation like that? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm just trying to, pick your brain a little bit here and just kind of see how somebody in a position like yours of leadership, would respond to something like that as well. So
that's a great question. It's a very interesting question. There are actually tenets of international law that state that anyone in the military is never under any obligation to carry out an unlawful or an unethical order. In the event that one receives an order that they believe to be unethical or unlawful, the first step that they always take is to clarify, to ask for clarification, to see exactly what the order was, to make sure there's not some sort of misunderstanding. However, if once the order is clarified and it really is unlawful, then the person is under no obligation to follow it. In fact, they're under obligation to disobey it and then to report the incident.
Okay. Well, that's, when I went into the military, just the statement that you made there is exactly how I understood it as well, that when we are faced with an unlawful order, that by no means do we have to fulfill that order if it's going against, what the Constitution delegates to us as fulfilling our oath, to the American people. So I'm glad to hear that. We've been hearing a lot of things out there on the air, too, about the military police in the streets of America and these types of things. We just recently had a big story all over the news that was about the 1st Army Brigade being brought back from Iraq and being put in position to be on hand and to police the streets of America should something like martial law ever happen or anything like that. Are you familiar with what's going on there, and is there anything you can tell us to give us some more insight to what that's all about?
Yes, I am aware of what is happening. Yes, with regard to what you're talking about. Yeah, I have read several reports on that and also seen it in the news. And it is interesting. It's interesting in light of something that we were talking about earlier before the show, which, of course, is the Posse Comitatus Act.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if I were a captain and I were told to patrol the streets, again, it raises an interesting question. Is that a lawful order? Is that an unlawful order?
Well, I guess now with Posse Comitatus out of the way, it would be a lawful order.
It would be.
To that degree, but then, you know, I guess, is removing Posse Comitatus a lawful thing to do in the first place? I guess you have to go back and think about that, because I don't really believe it is, but, you know, I don't know. I'd like your opinion on that.
Right. It's a convoluted issue. It is a very convoluted issue. If you look at it on the surface, going and patrolling the streets, if your unit is tasked to do that, that in and of itself would be a lawful order. However, the ensuing question then is the revocation of the Posse Comitatus Act. Is that lawful? Is that constitutional? Can that be permitted? Well, you know, and that's not for me to decide. I'm not a legislator. But at the same time, I do believe wholeheartedly and emphatically in civilian control of the military. And where I work, that is a principle that we teach very strongly, that as a tenet, it's a paramount tenet of the Republican form of government,
right,
that as military officers, we have to be subordinated to civilian leadership and civilian control. In the instant in which that relationship is eroded in any fashion, it's just going to lead to problems.
Right, sure.
We're servants. Military officers are our servants. We're here to serve the American citizen.
Right.
That's our client.
Yeah, okay. All right. And, you know, we're talking about this erosion of the Posse Comitatus Act here, and you know, that falls under this John Warner Defense Authorization Act, you know, which really I totally disagree with it being removed. I mean, you know, I was in the military myself, and we know that act is put in place to protect the people. You know, the way the states work is that, you know, your local government, your local sheriff's department, they are supposed to have the say-so over what happens in the states and in the local counties. And those people are put in place to do a job, and I believe they can do that job very well. We have the National Guard in place that's basically supposed to be here, you know, as well to protect protect the states and the citizens from any type of foreign invasion or any type of military action carried out in those states. But I really disagree with the police and military, you know, working hand in hand together to do things like this. You know, I think it's just a more broadening, a wider scope of government where, you know, this more bureaucracy steps in and takes control. And, you know, it's almost reminiscent, you know, of what happened, you know, during World War II when Hitler, you know, came to power. So some of these things worry me a little bit, but I'm just really happy to hear your viewpoint on this, because I think if we have people serving in the military that have the mindset that you have, then hopefully we'll not have anything to worry about. You know, it's nice to know we got brave souls like yourself that will, you know, will honor the Constitution and the oath that they swore to serve.
Well, thank you, Martin, and it's very important what you say. Also, I did want to bring out one comment really quickly, and that is that there actually is a huge difference between police work and then also military service. If we, again, look at international law, or we look at what's drawn out in the Geneva Conventions or also the Hague, if we look at that, there's a huge difference in what is considered to be internal strife or even an armed internal conflict, and
right,
then also an international conflict. When we think of military, we typically think of them participating in wars or international conflicts, where as international law, understand that the purpose is to destroy the enemy. That's what you're there for. However, when you look at police work or any type of domestic work inside the borders of a sovereign nation, the purpose is always to capture the enemy or capture the criminal element.
Right.
It is. When you blur those lines, or when you have military or soldiers that are participating in more police activities, they really are participating in activities that they are not adequately trained for.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what do you feel about, you know, I know that Justin, a while back before the show started too, we were talking a little bit about Blackwater and these private corporations that have kind of stepped in, you know, to fill the void, I guess, of some of the needs of the government. You know, what do you think about these companies that have, you know, basically been put in place of our own military to do jobs that the military really should be doing overseas, especially that you know, that these companies are doing, and I don't think that they're doing them, you know, the way that the military would step up and do them, you know.
The military is always, in almost all civilized nations, is considered to be one of the institutions in a nation that has, that really has the confidence of the people.
Most people
look on the military very, very favorably in civilized nations.
At least in our country.
At least in our country, yeah. Most people do trust military officers. They really believe that they are principled human beings that are carrying out sometimes what is a very difficult and often dangerous job.
Mm-hmm.
And they respect them.
Yeah, sure.
I also agree that most military officers are very principled human beings. So when you take someone who's going to carry out what is a very, very morally vague job, many times, as a military officer, if you're serving in combat, you're going to find yourself in situations which are very gray, moral dilemma.
Right.
And you really have to have your moral compass oriented very well to make a very sound decision, a decision that is sound both legally and also morally. Well, when you have individuals that are outside the military apparatus and that are serving in these types of scenarios, it's a little bit different because the same legal obligations are not there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fall up under UCMJ, which is the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Right.
Yet they are considered to be part of the United States forces that are there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really tricky. And they're there. They're serving on the streets of Iraq right now primarily, and it does raise a lot of issues because are these just soldiers of fortune? Are these just mercenaries that are there because they've got the bug, they just enjoy being in combat? Many of them have left the military to pursue these organizations because of the pay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to question anyone specifically. I'm not going to question what anyone's motives are. But most people serve in the military because they are very patriotic.
Right.
Regardless
That's
of what
true.
One's opinion is on the war, either in Iraq or Afghanistan, many of the soldiers, especially the ones who have enlisted post 9/11, regardless of what their beliefs may be on 9/11, they really think that they are doing the right thing, and they really have enlisted, and they are serving alongside their comrades in arms
mm-hmm.
on the streets of Afghanistan or Iraq, and they really think that they're doing what's right.
Right, sure.
And I'm not sure that exists to the same degree if you're in one of these other private security organizations.
Right, sure, absolutely, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Because I know when I enlisted, you know, I felt in my own heart that I was enlisting for the right reasons, and I was going to serve my country, and I felt obligated to do that, you know, to a certain degree. I mean, I remember my mother setting me down on the porch, you know, and saying, "Look, son, you know, you're either going to college right now or you're going to the military, but you're not staying here. You've got to make a choice and a decision." And, you know, I thought about it long and hard, and I guess I could have, you know, gone into college at that point. But I decided, you know what, I've got an obligation I think I need to fill here. So I did go into the Navy at that point. And I'm really glad I did. I got to see a lot of things, and it really helped me, you know, grow up, I think, and become a man. And I felt good about myself that I was doing something for other people. You know, I think that so many times today that you know, everybody makes it all about themselves, and they don't they don't approach things from a standpoint of how can I help other people, how can I serve other people. You know, Jesus basically said that we're called to be servants of all, and so I just felt when I did that that I was kind of fulfilling, you know, that obligation. So, but it's just interesting to hear your point of view on that. I mean, I hear so many things about what's going on, you know, overseas, in the wars that are happening, and how these guys are manipulating things over there. I'd like to talk a little bit now about your background of what happened in Afghanistan. If you, you know, feel these are some things you can talk about or that you'd like to talk about, I'd like to know, you know, what was your role over there? What did you really see going on? Because we're hearing all kinds of mixed, you know, reports from the people that come from these wars. So I'd like to get your opinion on it, just because, you know, I'm sitting here with you now, man to man, former military personnel to current military personnel. I'm looking you in the eye, and I'd really like to get your opinion on what's really happening over there, because, you know, a lot of things are hearsay. I know that, and, you know, I just want to hear some truth.
Okay. Well, again, speaking from my perspective, and my perspective is having served in Afghanistan, I was there for the entire year of 2006, January 2006 to January 2007. At that time, I was a member of the 10th Mountain Division, which is located in Fort Drum, New York. And the task force that I was a part of, and I worked in the operations office there, I was the assistant operations officer. My boss was a major. He was the operations officer for the task force. And we were at Bagram. I was at Bagram, which is located about 45 minutes away. But that'd be a 45-minute drive from Kabul, which is, of course, the capital of Afghanistan. I was there pretty much the entire year. It's the largest base in Afghanistan. And at this time, the unit that I was with, our job was to patrol daily the Bagram security zone, which was roughly a 20-kilometer ring that was drawn around the base, because most of the problems that we had in the area, and it's actually one of the calmer areas of Afghanistan, mm-hmm. but any problems that we would have would also be afflicting Kabul.
Okay.
So our job was to just provide security and protect the largest American base there. At the time, some of the jobs that I had was my job to help my boss, the major, the operations officer, to coordinate everything that we were doing, all our daily patrols, and then also other activities that we carried out. We would do village medical operations, where we would take a PA, a physician's assistant, out to and some medics,
mm-hmm.
to go out and assess the people, to give them vitamins, to give them checkups. And also,
okay.
We would do other humanitarian aid things, where we would take blankets and shoes and coats out and give them to the people, give out soccer balls to the children. I participated in many of those as well. I mean, there's
okay.
a lot going on there. It's not just gunfire. It's
right.
everyone thinks.
What kind of feedback did you get from the Afghani people, you know, that were there? I mean, of course, anytime a military from another country is in your country, you know what. It's considered an occupation for sure. I'm just curious to find out, you know, what you saw from these people. I mean, how did they respond to you?
Really, it's a mixed bag. You definitely have Afghan citizens who do not want U.S. troops there in any capacity, even
okay.
if you are there giving out soccer balls and coats. It
right.
does not matter. They do not want you there, and they won't accept your what you give them. They won't accept your aid. That happened too. I remember flying away from one village that actually we had just left. We were flying away. We were probably only several hundred meters away. And as we looked back out of the tail of the Chinook, everything that we had just given them in a huge pile was now ablaze. They had just
mm-hmm.
set on fire.
Wow.
That did not happen in the majority of the situations in which I was involved in, but it did happen.
Okay.
And that does happen. Some of the people are very happy. Some of the people also kind of, they change their opinions depending on who's winning in the area, who seems to hold the center of gravity there.
Okay.
So it really is a mixed bag.
Right. Okay. Now, Brad, let me ask you this, and you know, I'm not trying to throw you off here or anything, but what, you know, why were you told that we were over there? I mean, why were we in this war? Why were you there in the first place? What brought the military to Afghanistan?
Well, I think the average American citizen, as well as the average soldier or officer in the armed services, believes that we are in Afghanistan, that the United States government has sent the United States military to Afghanistan because of what happened on 9/11. I think there are many more people who support the Afghanistan war rather than the Iraq war, because they can more easily see the supposed correlation between what happened on 9/11 and our involvement in Afghanistan.
I think
that's what, if you ask most people that support the war, whether they are in or out of uniform, that's probably what they would say.
Yeah, okay. Do you think it had anything to do at all with oil?
Well, yes, I do. I personally do.
Do you? Okay.
I think if you were to ask the average soldier, again, you would probably get some varied responses.
Okay.
Some of them would probably agree and say yes, it probably did have something to do with oil, or it probably had something to do with control of the region.
Mm-hmm.
And others may say, no, it was solely in response to what happened on 9/11.
Okay. Now, 9/11 is a very deep subject. I mean, we can sit here and spend hours and hours talking about 9/11, and I really want to get into that with you guys. I'd like to have you both back for another show down the road here. Let's see where we're at time-wise. We've still got about almost 10 minutes to go here, but 9/11 is such a deep rabbit hole, man. We could just spend hours on that. And
sure,
there's just so much to talk about there. But now you made a statement, Brad, that you felt more people supported the war in Afghanistan than the war in Iraq, and I tend to believe that as well. What's your opinion on the war in Iraq? About, of course, we know we were told there were WMDs that were going in there to remove from Saddam, and a lot of us are well aware that we funded and supported Saddam, years ago, and put him in power, basically. Then we went in there to remove him. I've heard from other military personnel that the weapons of mass destruction that were there that he controlled were actually removed in the first Gulf War, and that there weren't any there. And then also, I think I was telling you about this article I was just reading that a buddy of mine sent in that said that it was an MSNBC article that said that the military did happen to find 540 metric tons of refined uranium that was stashed there in Iraq, that was removed and held at a military site so that it wouldn't be taken by terrorists. That was the first I'd ever heard of that. I'm very well aware of how these a lot of these mainline media companies will spin stories. The government has been busted many times buying fake news stories and putting them out there. So this would be the first time I've heard about that. I just wanted to find out if you had any insight into that at all, or if you've heard anything about it, and also just kind of get your opinion on what's happening in Iraq.
I actually don't have any information on that, so I really can't tell you one way or the other as far as that specific incident. And as far as my opinions on Iraq, again, I would be speaking from someone who personally has not served in Iraq. I've only been deployed myself to Afghanistan. I would say, again, that even within the military, you're probably going to find more soldiers who would say that they feel more comfortable being in Afghanistan
mm-hmm.
than Iraq if they're talking about their personal viewpoints as to what they feel is right or what they feel is justified. Again, the majority of your soldiers, though, are very professional.
Right.
And even though their personal opinions may collide with what they're being asked to do, because of the professionalism, even if they don't feel exactly comfortable doing it or don't believe in the underlying reason, they're still going to carry out their job. Which,
sure.
Don't get me wrong, I do think that is noble. Unless the order is explicitly unlawful, then if it's just an order that you don't like, you're still under obligation to carry it out. And I think a lot of soldiers probably see themselves in that situation, and they still carry out a very difficult job.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I just wanted to flip things over here to Justin for a minute, if we could. Justin, you and I had been talking, you know, for some time about 9/11. We've had a couple of separate meetings where we talked about it in depth. You had stated earlier this evening that, you know, you believe that 9/11 was a inside job, basically, that it was a, you know, contrived, and that our own government had a lot to do with what went on there. I tend to agree with that. I've studied a lot of the evidence like you have as well. And, you know, looking at these wars that our country is in right now, knowing what we know or the evidence that we've seen on 9/11, you know, what do you think? What do you think is the bigger picture here? I mean, what do you think is going to play out as far as the wars, you know, that are approaching possibly down the road now that we have a new administration that's being put in place? You know, we did hear the other day Colin Powell on TV stating that we're going to be having some major events taking place as soon as President-elect Obama is put into place. I'd just like your opinion on what you think is going to come out of all this.
Well, personally, I think that we won't see any change in the Iraq situation. I don't think Obama has the power, nor do I really think he has the desire to remove the troops in Iraq. I think it's a, I think on a government level, they need a strategic positioning in the Middle East to really carry out the plans, that you know, their overall plans and agendas.
Right.
So I don't think that we'll leave Iraq anytime soon. Actually, I have a suspicion that we'll actually go into Iran. I think that's the next hot spot. You know, I don't know if it'll be a false flag operation.
Mm-hmm.
False flag meaning a staged event, a staged terrorist attack, some staged event that would give justification for America to invade a country, as 9/11 was for Iraq.
Okay, right.
In Afghanistan.
Well, you know, this this incident that has just happened in India here recently, where there have been quite a few Americans involved in these attacks that have taken place. I was reading a news story just before you got here that was talking about the possibility of our own military personnel staging some of the attacks over there against Americans to make this look like more of an international incident than, you know, as far as giving the government the opportunity again to step in and say, hey, look, we're being attacked by Al-Qaeda or, you know, whoever they may want to, you know, pin the tail on this time. You know, what do you think about that? I mean, do you think that's something that could possibly play out from this?
Well, I think it just goes back to the fact that it's an escalation of fear for, you know, that the government's trying to bring to the American people. They're trying to prepare us for a terrorist attack. Is
mm-hmm.
what they're doing. They're trying to get the word out. You hear it on the news. Colin Powell said it.
Yeah.
Joe Biden said it.
During
campaign, I think they're trying to set the stage for a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Do I think that it will be terrorists that carry this out? No, personally, I don't think it will be terrorists that carry this out.
Right.
I think they're setting the stage for a false flag operation.
Yeah.
But I think they're trying to get in America's mind, not only Americans, but in the global mindset, that there will be a terrorist attack carried out by Al-Qaeda. Because they're already referencing to Al-Qaeda, you know.
You know, and my question has always been, over the years, too, where are all these terrorists? I mean, we hear about them all the time. Of course, we know, you know, in the other countries, of course, there's terrorism going on smaller scales, bombs going off here and there, you know, killing 10, killing 20, killing 30. But here in the United States, I travel quite a bit for my day job. I'm all over the country. I travel overseas a lot too. And every time I'm in the airport, there's this standard of fear that is just, you know, you hear it all day long over the loudspeaker in the airport, you know, hey, watch your neighbor. You know, your neighbor might be planting something in your suitcase. Don't leave your your suitcase unattended, that type of thing, you know, so there's all this fear that's projected on you every time you travel.
Right.
Personally, I've been to the airport thousands of times, and I've never seen a terrorist. I've never seen one. You know, we know these cells operate, of course, in our country, and that a lot of these people have been brought in by the CIA and by our government and put in place. And actually, if you sit down and listen to people like Colonel Craig Roberts, who investigated the Oklahoma City bombings, you know, all these guys that are in the know that can give you all the information on their investigations and say, hey, look, you know, these are not terrorists doing this stuff. It's actual inside work. You know, it's pretty obvious what's happening. And I just see it everywhere I go, and I'm just glad I've been enlightened to awaken, I guess I should say, to see what's all, you know, going on with this stuff. But
I think an important function of terrorism is to create fear. And this fear will actually allow the government to have their hands in a whole lot more people. You know, they can put their hands in people's lives.
Right.
Like things like the Patriot Act that was a complete it abolished many constitutional amendments that were so sacred to many Americans, and those have been gone.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Quickly, you know, terrorism was a tool to allow that to happen. It was a catalyst for that, for the implementation of the Patriot Act.
I totally agree with that. Brad, any last words before we go here? It's been a real pleasure having both of you guys here on the show this evening. I want to get you back in the future. There's just so much more to cover and talk about, I'd like you guys here in the future if you can manage that down the road.
Absolutely, and I've enjoyed being here. And I did just want to say as a last word, and that's education. Educating oneself and educating one's neighbor. And education does not mean necessarily tuning into the news station at night and listening to whatever it is that they say, but actually going out proactively and trying to find the truth.
Right.
And once you find the truth, to share that.
Well said. Yeah, very well said. Okay, well, that's the end of our show this evening. Our website, again, is matrixministries.com. Please go check it out. Help support our work here. We are not just a ministry for Jesus Christ, but we are also a ministry to the people. We're trying to minister truth here to the uninformed, which I think is very important, especially in this day and age. Okay, this is Martin and Brad and Justin. We're out of here for the evening. Okay, be good. Bye.